Hello and welcome to Opening Doors Podcast. I'm Rachel Delinka. This podcast is really close to my heart. I'm going to share a lot today that used to make me really, really scared to tell anyone. I'm opening it all up, and I'm doing it because I believe it's important for us to share our stories with each other of how we overcome trauma. You might look at someone on the street and think, wow, they've got it all together. But everybody has a story that may stay locked inside. I'm hoping that people that have been incarcerated, their family members, people that have faced addiction and their family members and friends can learn from this and feel supported and feel like they're understood. So let's get into it. Why am I doing this? Well, I am the daughter of a man who was a brilliant attorney, but he was also addicted to cocaine. And I grew up with a lot of chaos because of that. My parents separated when I was 7, and my mom thought it was really important to have her kids spend time with their dad. What she didn't realize was that when we went and spent time with our dad, we were exposed to a lot of stuff that was really harmful. My dad was an attorney for drug dealers, basically. He was a search and seizure attorney. He was named to High Times Magazine's top 10 drug lawyers in the 80s. He unfortunately partook of the drugs that he kept people out of jail for selling. We would go to his house and see petrified rock with mounds of white powder. I was 7 years old. My brother was 5, but I knew what it was. I knew, you know, maybe I'd overheard the word cocaine. I knew it was bad. I knew it was illegal. And I knew it was what caused my dad to be erratic, rageful, undependable. A little bit of time passed. My dad married a woman much younger than him, and she had a daughter whose name was also Rachel. So I was Rachel Ann, and she was Rachel Lee. And this woman, Betty Sue, was lovely, but also addicted. She got pregnant, and my sister Jessa was born when I was 12 years old, and I was thrilled. I always wanted a sister that was my own sister. It was just exciting and fun. But unfortunately, things went south. Betty Sue had a lot of issues, and she took her own life when I was 13. She shot herself in the head. You know, that was a pretty huge trauma, and I didn't know anybody else who had gone through anything like that. So again, it was something that made me feel different. You know, not only was my dad not like other kids' dads, then that happened. I was also growing up in the 70s, and there weren't a lot of kids whose parents were divorced. I went to the Narberth Elementary School, and the greater Philadelphia area had a lot of different religions, but Narberth was mostly Catholic and Christian, and there were only maybe 5 or 6 Jewish kids. So another weird trauma that happened when I was young was that on the playground, some boy said to me, "You killed Jesus." I was like, oh my God, I didn't kill Jesus. I mean, I knew who Jesus was. I knew it was anti-Semitism. There was another feeling of being othered. Moving along, my dad really wanted to find a partner so that he could raise Jessa with someone. And he ended up with a woman who had 2 kids, Pam, and of course was a drug user. And at one point, Pam fell down the stairs at the old farmhouse where my dad had moved from Center City. She was on Percocet, and then she transitioned into heroin, as we know, happens with opioids. So here we were, maybe 14, 15. My brother was 12. And the adults at my father's house were using pretty hard drugs. I was there one summer when I was 15. And I was sleeping downstairs because there was better air conditioning there. And there was a knock on the door. Bam, bam, bam. Hard knocking. I got up. I looked out the window. And I knew who was there. 5 gentlemen with navy blue jackets with bright yellow letters. DEA. I knew who the DEA were. How many young kids do? The drug enforcement agents were the people who arrested the drug dealers, and they were the opposing counsel against my dad, and they were at his house. And I had a feeling. I opened the door, and they said, "Is George Goldstein here?" I ran upstairs to get my dad, and Pam jumped out of bed and started flushing stuff down the toilet, hiding stuff in the walls. There was a hidden closet in the wall. My dad and I went downstairs. He was handcuffed and led away. And he said, "I'll be back. I'll be back later today." He was back. But then he was in a car a couple months later after he was out on bail with an old client and a new client. And a big bag of cocaine was brought out. And my dad said, "I can't be around that. I'm out on bail." Next thing you know, wow, 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 Johnny Law. My dad threw the bag out the window, but the police saw it, and he was arrested again. When I was 16, my dad went to jail. It was all over the papers. Philadelphia lawyer George Goldstein arrested, going to jail. But for some reason, I thought I could pretend it wasn't happening. I didn't tell any of my friends. I made up lies about where my dad was. I was so ashamed that my father was in jail, and I was dead set against anyone ever finding out. I spent my high school years making up stories about why my dad wasn't at my high school graduation, why my dad wasn't at my 18th birthday. I started college, and my dad got out of jail just around the same time. The good news is he got clean in jail, and he was off the cocaine. Pam was out of the picture. He came back and really worked on repairing the relationship with my sister, Jessa, with my brother and I. And that was when some healing could start. But when you go through consistent trauma as a kid, you come up with ways of dealing with things that are upsetting. Maybe you shut down when you get triggered or when you're in a situation that makes you really anxious. Maybe you get really defensive. Me, defensive, argumentative. I knew that I had a lot of stuff that I had to work out if I wanted to be able to have healthy relationships in my adult life. And I started working on that. I started trying to figure it out. And that's a lot about what this podcast is going to focus on. How do people heal from these traumas? What is even trauma? What is it? What does it do to you? How does it change your brain? Because it does. Traumas change the way our physical body reacts to stress. So I spent a lot of time learning about it and a lot of time in therapy and in support groups, Codependence Anonymous, Al-Anon. And what I'm going to share is what worked for me. And then I'm going to talk with a lot of really good people that have experienced incarceration and addiction themselves and have experienced death of loved ones by gun violence. And they talk about how they got through. And the goal is for people to learn that sharing your story is nothing that you have to be afraid of, like I was. All that shame I carried around for so long, I didn't know that I wasn't alone, and there were tons of people out there. I was just too scared and too young, I guess, to know the difference. I feel like it's really important to understand what trauma is. Trauma is an emotional response to a terrible event, like having to see your dad do drugs, having your dad go to jail, a natural disaster, a rape, watching a parent beat up another parent, being beat up yourself, being bullied. It's emotional response to terrible events. After the event, people often feel shock and denial. Longer-term reactions include unpredictable emotions, maybe flashbacks, strained relationships, and even physical symptoms like headaches or nausea. Children like me who were in continually traumatic situations create ways to cope. And as an adult, these ways aren't really helpful any longer. One of the things that I did was the people-pleasing. It's really hard to create strong boundaries when you're not taught what boundaries look like and when they're not respected in your home. I healed very much through using what I like to call the four S's: support, self-care, service, and spirituality. For me, support looked like therapy. One of the therapies that I did that has been so helpful to me that I didn't really come to until I was older was EMDR, which is rapid eye movement. That EMDR can really help you access emotions that get stuck in your body. And another support that I was super helpful was the groups that I attended, Al-Anon and Codependence Anonymous, where I heard other people's stories and realized I wasn't alone and realized that the whole world wasn't going to explode when I told my truth and shared my story. Being able to share and get that support really helped me let go of so much of the shame that kept me stuck and feeling removed and different, othered. And then self-care. For me, self-care was yoga. I started yoga in my 20s. I'm now in my 50s. So I've been doing yoga for a darn long time. Yoga really helps you heal trauma because so much of trauma, as I said, is healed in our muscles and in our subconscious. And through yoga, when you combine your breathing with movement, you can often really get into those places in your body and release. And you sometimes feel it. You feel the energy releasing out of your fingers. And it allows your emotions to bubble up. And when they bubble up from that place where you locked them away, you can deal with them. If you don't feel them, you can't heal them. That was a huge one for me, not to mention that the yoga community was really just a lovely community of people that really accepted me for who I was. And another thing that I really learned through yoga was being able to breathe through discomfort. So you're holding a pose and it's not comfortable, but you focus on your breathing, and that helps you be with discomfort, not pain, but intensity. And that key part of the yoga practice, what you're doing on the mat, can transfer and be instructive for what you do off the mat. So that when you're in a situation and you're getting upset and your blood pressure is starting to rise and you're ready to lash out, over time you can learn to breathe and keep your reactivity at bay. And then spirituality. So spirituality is central to a lot of people's lives. And for other people, not so much. For me, I think it's important to find a higher power. And that higher power, if it isn't a religious icon, can be nature. It can be the moon and the stars, the universe. But I think as a human being in the world, it's pretty evident that there's something higher out there. Whatever it is, we are not the end-all be-all. I mean, shoot, your higher power could be your puppy dog. Whatever it is, spirituality, I have found in my conversations with people that have overcome intense traumas, has been a huge, huge help. For me, when I was feeling alone and scared, I imagined my higher power holding me. And I knew that I wasn't walking alone through my grief, through my depression. And then the fourth S is service, giving back. Giving to others really helps heal. I was able to be a big sister in college, and this is how crazy the universe is. I'm a big sister, I'm in college, and I meet the little sister, and we start talking, and she's like, yeah, my dad's not around. My dad's in jail for drugs. What? Huh? Are you kidding me? Like the universe or God or whoever gave me a little sister in this service project that helped me deal with my own stuff. And so I was able to say to her, whoa, you won't believe this, but I have been dealing with the same situation. So we were really able to be there for each other. I mean, it was really remarkable to me. And then I was fortunate to help run the social action group with my synagogue. And now the work that I do, I work with Medicaid insurance and MCO, and I work with getting Medicaid patients connected to resources in the community, and I create events to make sure that people get screened for their disease states early and stay healthy. You know, work. I do a lot of work with workforce development and helping with a nonprofit called Keys to Success in the Philadelphia area that works to help people dealing with homelessness find meaningful work. So those things have helped me to realize, to take the crazy that happened when I was a kid and realize that it actually made me stronger. And really it was addressing the issues helped me heal my wounds, just addressing them and sharing and saying, this is what I went through, really healing, really, really important to be able to let it out to someone that you trust, and learning to ask for help and going and hearing, you know, at the support groups that I was far from alone and hearing stories that made my story look like nothing. I think the most important thing is that you have to do the work. And like, it's one of those 12-step things. It works when you work it and you're worth it. And it's true. So every day I say the CODA step 3 prayer, sometimes 5 times a day. I am very positive that we're going to hear some really intense, hard to hear situations and things that people have been through. But we're also going to be empowered by learning what they did to get to the next place in their lives and learning that where you are now is not where you're always going to be. How do we get unstuck? How do we find joy when we've been through horrendous, painful things? We're going to figure it all out together. We're going to open that door and see what comes through. Please join me. Subscribe, register, find this podcast where you find your podcasts, and let's try and find a way to get those 4 S's into our lives. Take care. Be safe.